Okay, good evening. So as I mentioned that tonight, we would talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, which on the one hand is a continuation of themes that we've been talking about the past few weeks when we've talked a little bit about concepts related to Chesed. It was my father's Yahrzeit today, and this is a theme that he was particularly expert in. But it's also a dafyomi topic. This is a issue that is discussed in the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim at great length, and a daf that's coming up in the next few days. So with the combination of all of those, I thought we would talk a little bit about this crucially important mitzvah, about this very important imperative of Bikur Cholim, which, as an example of the mandate of Chesed, as well as its own concept, is very fundamental to who we are. So, yes, it is a crucial example of Chesed, and as we've discussed, Chesed is its own mandate. It's a fulfillment of both the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha and the Halachta B'Drachav. And in fact, the parasha that we read a few weeks ago, Vayera, so the very name of that parasha, Vayera, is a reflection of a kiyum of that mitzvah and also of the kiyum that exists for us, because that word that God appeared to Avram, Chazal tell us that that was a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram in kiyum of this mitzvah. That Avram was recovering from his bris milah and God appeared to him. And that also conveys to us the mitzvah that we have this obligation as a fulfillment of halachta b'drachav, that we are obligated to imitate God. And the Gemara tells us that the most prominent fulfillment of that mitzvah is the sphere of Chesed, that we imitate what God models for us in the sphere of Chesed. And in fact, the Chidah, in his commentary to the Torah, has a number of diukim from the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayera that we can learn how to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim from looking at how God fulfills that mitzvah. So that already is the source for the obligation of Bikur Cholim. But nonetheless, there are more specific sources as well, of a different nature. And that is something that appears in the Gemara, in the Daf Yomi coming up the next few days, in the Dharam and Daf Lamites and Midbeis. So there, the Gemara talks about the remez for Bikur Cholim. And what's one of the sources that's there? What's one of the possible clues for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? So that actually appears. You have to know where to look. You wouldn't pick it up otherwise. But the Torah identifies what is conveyed in Parshas Korach, that there Moshe Rabbeinu conveys to us that how will we know that he was right in the machlokus between him and Korach? That if the death of the people who were with Korach is like the death of everyone else, and that it is accompanied by a visit, that if these people will die like people die in general, in the sense that kipakudas, they are visited by others before dying, they get sick and they are visited by people, so then that'll be a normal death, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, then I'm wrong, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with me in this. So the assumption seems to be that when people get sick, they get visited, and that's how things normally go, as opposed to the very abrupt circumstances that surround the death of the Chevra of Korach. So it seems like a pretty roundabout way of conveying to us that that's the assumption, that that's what happens normally. So that's an interesting idea, and there's a question here being asked, is that Daraisa or Drabanan? So here, the Gemara in Nedarim, that's being identified here, calls it a remez. So what does that mean? So that may be considered to be a din daraisa, or may be considered to be more than that. There is a discussion about this in the Maariv Chayos, and in other Meforshim as to how to read the phrase Remez. Now, one way or another, it wouldn't necessarily tell us the whole story as far as the weight of the mitzvah. When we talk about chasadim and the particular iterations of V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, so the Rambam has this language that midivrei sofrim, we have these specific examples of bikur cholim and the like, which leads some, and even some of the Rishonim, to understand that these are rabbinic fulfillments of the din and HaTorah of V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. It's also possible and perhaps likely to say more than that, that these are all ways to fulfill the mitzvah min HaTorah of V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, and Chazal formulated the context in which this mitzvah min HaTorah is going to be fulfilled. And there's also then these specific references that give it a little bit more of a context. Some of the Meforshim on Nedarim, the Sefer Tiferes Nion that talks about this and suggests that what the Gemara is telling us is that this is a identification of the fact that this was the practice of the Jews who were descendants of Avram and were doing this all along, even before the Torah was given. Rav Nosson Gishtetner in his Sefer on Adarim, Sefer Nosson Pirio, so he has a comment also that suggests that now that it's being mentioned in the Torah as a given, so that practice is now being credited as a mitzvah. There's also another reference separate from that which the Gemara in Adarim talks about, but the Gemara in Bava Kama and in Bava Metzia make reference to what Yisro says to Moshe. So we all know that Yisro gives Moshe the advice about the hierarchical court system, but he also says more than that. He also says that Moshe should give advice to the Jewish people, should instruct the Jewish people regarding the big issues in life. V'daitem es aderech yelchuba, you should tell the people about the way in which they should walk. And the Gemara has a specific reading of that idea. What does it mean to tell them Haderech Yelchu Ba? So that path that they should walk on, that is Chesed. We see V'halachta V'drachav is the path of Chesed. But even within Chesed, so the Gemara is even Medayik further within that language, the Derech is a Derech of Chesed, but Yelchu, so the path that they should walk on, the walking, that is Bikur Cholim. And that's an interesting read. And there are specific limudim that come out from that, and we'll say a little bit more about that. But apparently there is this notion of Chesed being conveyed here as well, and even within Chesed, a additional focus on Bikur Cholim. So all of that seems to suggest that there is a mitzvah min HaTorah here that applies on many levels, a broad mitzvah of chesed, a specific iteration of bikur cholim, and a couple of additional sources giving bikur cholim its own chashivas and its own recognition. In addition to that, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit to Avram was its own source suggested by the Medrash HaGadol, now we should look to that as a chiyuv of Bikur Cholim. And some also note that the idea that the Gemara in Nedarim and other sources seem to convey that there is an aspect of Hatzolos Nefashos that comes along with Bikur Cholim, so that creates its own mitzvah obligation, and the fact that we are obligated to save lives, and v'ashava saveda in that sense, so therefore that conveys a mitzvah. So all of that is relevant in giving us this obligation. Okay, so with all that, so it's a good thing to do. It's something that we're obligated to do, it's something that we're encouraged to do, and it's something that has tremendous value to it. But being all of that the case, all of that being the case, all that being true, it's maybe a little bit surprising that there is still what to investigate as to what exactly is the purpose of Bikur Cholim. Why does it exist? Why is this something that we do? So you might think, well, you know, why do I need to ask that question? It's pretty self-evident. But the truth is, there is what to ask. There is what to try to figure out as to what is the purpose of Bikur Cholim. So on the surface, first and foremost, it would seem that one who visits the sick provides that patient with comfort and with chizuk, and that's a self-evident mitzvah. And the truth is, that's certainly the case. There is a interesting comment that was made by the Rush in his commentary to the Torah. That's not so frequently quoted as a source. There's a sefer called Hadar Zakenim on Mesachas Brachos on the Torah that has the commentary of the Rush al HaTorah. So over there, the Rush says that if somebody comes to visit a chola and the individual is asleep, so the Rush says that he's still in fulfillment of a mitzvah, and the way he explains it is because since when he wakes up, people around him will tell the patient that he had a visitor, so that's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah. There's more to say about that as well. There's more value to that, even if the person is not going to find out about it. My father's Zichrono Livracha is to point out that it's particularly relevant, crucially important to the care that the chola gets, just that the nurses should know, the people around should know that the patient is getting visitors. So even if the patient is not going to hear later on that he was visited, and even if the patient is, Rahman al-Islam, not conscious, or if it's a infant, is not somebody who's going to be aware that he was being visited, the fact that others around him will be aware and will be impacted by the fact that there was a visit, that's itself valuable. But here, just in the immediate sense, the idea that the patient will know and will get chizik from the visit, so the Rosh is identifying that as a mitzvah, even if it's not going to happen until later. So this idea of encouragement and of comforting the patient, so this is listed by the Ramban as part of the purpose of Bikur Cholim. Now, the Ramban has a sefer called Torah Sa'adam, where he talks about Avelus, is most well known for that, but he also talks about Bikur Cholim in that context. It shouldn't lead to Avelus, but that's also a part of what the Ramban talks about in Torah Sa'adam. And the Ramban's discussion over there was quoted by the later Svarim, including the codes that came to make up the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So a lot of the codification, la halacha, of Bikur Cholim is based on the Ramban. So part of what the Ramban says is this idea that you're bringing comfort, you're bringing chizuk to the chola, that's a part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And there's a sefer on the Chumash called Minchas Aron, is a contemporary sefer by Rav Aaron Miasnik. So he notes that the Ramban, when he says this, he is maybe l'shitaso with his commentary on Chumash, because over there, his commentary on Chumash, the Ramban writes that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit Avram, so that is a expression of support to Avram for fulfilling his mitzvah of Bris Milah. So that's interesting, because the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia tells us that that visit was a kiyum and a bikur cholim, like we said. So apparently, those are one and the same. This visit of support that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was making is a fulfillment in bikur cholim, because that's what bikur cholim is. Coming for support is that fulfillment of bikur cholim. Okay, so that's a part of it. And the Ramban goes on to say over there that there's more, and that in addition to that, the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is there to benefit the chola in other ways, some of which show up later. So to that extent, like we alluded to, that even if a patient is sleeping and he's not going to be informed of the visit, but there's going to be other benefits to him, so that's also a fulfillment. This is something that Rav Chaim Kanievsky pointed out in the Sefer Derech Sicha, and these benefits that could come to him are both of the natural and the supernatural level. So when we say supernatural, so that is reflected by a major focus on tefillah. So the notion that the visitor is supposed to daven on behalf of the patient is so crucial to the mitzvah that the Ramah, who's following the words of the Ramban, as we said, the Ramah has this very strong comment that whoever visits a chola and doesn't daven on his behalf has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So that seems to be a very strong comment. It's something that we have to explore a little bit more. The Gemara says that somebody who has a chola in his house, the Gemara in Bava Basra, and Daf Kuf Tazayin, the Gemara says if somebody has a chola in his house, he should come to a Talmud Chacham to daven on behalf of that chola. And Nimuki Yosef writes that this was the practice in France, that they would go to one of the local rabbinic leaders to daven on behalf of somebody who's sick. And the Ramah quotes this as the mocker for the notion of the Mishaberech that's recited in the shul. And the Aruch HaShulchan comments that the idea of the Mishaberech at the public Kriyas HaTorah is a particularly conducive time for bringing about the divine rachmanis. So that's reflected there as well. And so this notion of tefillah as particularly crucial to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is reflective of this idea that davening on behalf of the chola is a particularly highlighted idea. So the idea that the mitzvah is not even fulfilled without, on any level, without tefillah on behalf of the chola, that's a particularly strong way of saying it, so we'll come back to that in a moment. But the idea that you're there to help the chola, so that's true on that level, but it's also true on the more basic level, that you want to be able to help the chola. You want to be able to help him at that time when you're there, and also to help afterwards. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that, in his understanding, the main thing, the ikkar of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, is to look into what the chola needs and to be able to provide for him that thing that he needs. And in fact, many point out that both in the language of the Tanakh and also in the language of the Talmud, the word bikur doesn't necessarily convey to visit, but it conveys to investigate, to look into. So the notion of bikur chola is to investigate, is to look into what the chola needs, so that you will be able to be responsive. You will be able to provide for what the chola needs. My father's derech was always to ask what ice cream flavor the patient is fond of, so he could make sure to bring that type of ice cream. And that's one level of bringing some kind of nachas ruach, of bringing some kind of a relief to the patient. So on that or any other sense, you want to try to ask how you can be helpful. And some Sfarim point out that that's also something that was modeled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that what happens after or during HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit, that the Malachim show up, that that was a direct consequence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit, or the direct result, because Avraham's response to the visit was, "I'm miserable, I don't have anybody to host, I need to be conveying chesed, I need to be engaged in kindness." So the immediate response was, okay, so here are some guests to take care of. So that was reflecting this idea that there is a purpose of Bikur Cholim to find out what the chola needs and to provide that. The Minchas Yitzchak in his Tshuvas, in Chelek Beis, so he notes that if we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is modeling the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so it seems a little bit like it doesn't match, because the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu needing to find out something doesn't really fit. He knows everything. So a human being can perform a visit so that he can find out what the chola needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to find out anything. So some understand that this is a part of the modeling component, that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing it for his sake in order to find out some piece of information, but he was showing us the concept of Bikur Cholim in order to show us that mitzvah, and for us the mitzvah is that we should find out. As far as also point out that the aspect of tefillah also doesn't really seem to fit for Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to daven to himself, it would seem. But again, that's a part of the modeling of Lachta B'drachov and of showing us the whole concept. So these are benefits that are there. And like we said also before, about even if the chol is not going to be aware, but the medical staff will be aware, and that will help their care, that will give the chola better attention. So that's also a direct benefit to the chola that comes from the visit. The idea that you're going to help them through the visit, either you'll daven on their behalf or you will find out how you can be helpful. So that is something that is reflected in the Gemara in the Darim and Daf Mem, and the upcoming Daf Yomi. That the Gemara has a limitation there. The Gemara says that one should not visit in the first quarter of the day or the last quarter of the day. That one should visit essentially in the middle two quarters, which is basically the half of the day, that's the middle two quarters. And the Shulchan Aruch understands that that is there for the purpose of inspiring tefillah. That the assumption seems to be that you want to come in order to get a clear picture of how the chola is doing. And if you come too early in the day, you're not going to get a clear picture. The assumption seems to be that as the day goes on, it becomes harder and harder for the chola. So at the first quarter of the day, it's a little bit not reflective in a positive sense. The chola is stronger than he is on the average. And in the last quarter of the day, the chola is weaker. So if you want to get a good reflection of how the chola is in an accurate sample, so you want to come in the middle of the day, because the assumption is you want to get the most kind of accurate picture of what the condition is of the chola, so that you can incorporate that into your tefillah, which itself is a very interesting point. The assumption being that your tefillah will be most beneficial if you have as accurate as possible a picture of what's going on, which is why some of those farim suggest that maybe it's not so important to visit if you are makabel upon yourself to daven anyway. And others respond that that doesn't matter if you're makabel upon yourself, that's good to do also. But the assumption seems to be that the quality of your tefillah is affected by seeing the chola in their matzav. So it's nice that you are makabel to daven, but you're going to have a more effective tefillah by seeing them, so the Kabbalah is not necessarily going to accomplish the same thing. So it could be that that's what the Gemara is getting at by saying that you should come and visit specifically during that time. The others understand that, as based on the Rambam, that the goal of visiting during that time is based on service, that the assumption is that maybe there's more attention being paid to the chola at the beginning and the end of the day. And if you're going to come then, you're not going to be able to play as much of a role. But if you'll come during the middle of the day, so you will be able to be more helpful. And therefore, that's the recommendation. Now, one way or another, we don't necessarily find that this specific recommendation of coming in the middle of the day is fulfilled. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that this seems to be more of an Eitzah rather than absolute halacha. But figuring out what the goal of this timing was, so that's something that the Mefarshim work on. And in fact, we find that the recommendation is often specifically different than that. And so Chaim Sonnenfeld has a tshuva where he suggests that nowadays hospitals have visiting hours, and that replaces this specific recommendation. But the idea that there are certain advantages that is conveyed, that are conveyed by that framework, helps us to understand a little bit what we're trying to accomplish. And it also conveys to us that there are some times when a visit's not going to be so welcome and it's not going to be so helpful. So the Gemara also conveys that sometimes a person is going to not want visitors, a person is going to be in a situation where it's going to be embarrassing or it's going to be uncomfortable for them to have people around. So then we're told not to actually visit in person. But that doesn't get us off the hook. So the visitor is supposed to come as close as they can or to inquire as much as they're able to, and to understand that that process is going to give them the exposure that they can benefit from to help or to daven on behalf of the chola. So to go back to this idea of davening and the focus specifically on tefillah, so all of what we said so far of the different purposes of Bikur Cholim, so most of them are included in the Ramban's language, which, as we noted, is a part of what's adopted in the halachic codes. But this idea of tefillah is given particular focus. And like we said, the Ramban has this language that is adopted in the later poskim, that whoever doesn't daven for the chola is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that is quite striking, because the language seems very strong, that the idea that you could schlep out for a long time and spend an equally long time in the presence of the chola and do a lot on their behalf and then not be in fulfillment because you happen not to be also davening for them. So that seems a little bit hard to believe. And in fact, there is a Sefer Kol Torah Samincha. It was written by one of the Talmidim of the Rashba, who takes it very far. And he says that somebody who feels that he can't daven on behalf of the chola for whatever reason, he should not visit, because it would seem hypocritical to visit under such circumstances, as if he has rachmanis that he doesn't actually have. And it would be a stira to the whole goal of sympathy, the idea that you're there to emulate God and to imitate God, balachta b'drachav, and yet you're not feeling any rachmanis, and you're not feeling you want to daven on behalf. So the Taras HaMincha goes so far as to say that if that's the way you feel, you shouldn't even go. So that sounds very extreme. So all of that focus does seem like a lot, and there are some who kind of try to tamp it down a little bit, and some suggest that Ramban doesn't necessarily mean that no mitzvah has been performed, but it means that the mitzvah of tefillah for the chola hasn't been performed. There's a sefer called Pnei Baruch on Avelis that also has a volume on Bikur Cholim. So Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Fisher wrote a haskama to that sefer Pnei Baruch, and over there he has a discussion about that, about trying to make it a little bit softer, that maybe there's also a mitzvah of tefillah, and that the Ramban meant you're not in fulfillment of that. And that aspect is not going to be fulfilled if you're not going to daven on behalf, which is possible, but it's a little hard to say in some sense of the word, but okay, but there's a mitzvah of visiting and also a mitzvah to daven on his behalf. In the Sefer Charedim, he actually has different citations of the mitzvah. So he has, on the one hand, a mitzvah that is focused on service. It's a mitzvah that's totally on the legs. So the Sefer Charedim breaks down the mitzvahs in general into different parts of the body. So there's a mitzvah that you can do every day that's totally on the legs. That's a mitzvah of going and helping. And there's also a mitzvah that's totally on the lathe, and that's the mitzvah to daven on behalf of the chola. But nonetheless, so there are those who do note that it certainly seems like the focus really is the tefillah. So that Sefer Pnei Baruch that we mentioned, so the author softens it a different way by adding a little bit of an extra language, and he says that if you visit the chola for your own benefit, but you're not necessarily focused on him, you're not praying on his behalf because you're not focusing on his chus, so then you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So there does seem to be this very strong focus on tefillah as representative of the idea that you are trying to benefit the chola. There were some in the past few decades who have questioned that if you say that the main purpose is to help the chola. So maybe Bisman Hazah, that we have hospitals that have staffs and that are taking care of the chola, so maybe the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is reduced. Maybe we don't necessarily have as much of a mitzvah to take care of the chola, to visit the chola, because we're not going to be able to do so much. And others, as you would expect, responded very strongly to that, and they said that that's not at all the case. Like we noted before, that you have a big impact on the staff by visiting and showing that you care. And there's always things you can do in addition. It's not only the activities that the nurses take care of, that the patients are benefiting from their service in that specific way, but the visitors have additional ways they can help. But one way or another, there's always a benefit that there's the possibility of fulfilling, and certainly the existence of hospitals do not replace all of that. So the fact that people are taken care of in hospitals, it's still very much a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim to provide that benefit that the visitor is able to provide. Now, the notion of tefillah as a part of it, so that kind of transforms the whole environment, and it gives kedusha, it gives a notion that the Shekhinah is present. That's something that Chazal convey. And then in some level, the room of the chola is treated like a shul, in a sense, with the Shekhinah present, and the visitor is supposed to behave with that awareness. And as far as where the tefillah happens, so yes, certainly there's the notion of davening afterwards. There is also a notion of davening in the presence of the chola, but that's something that has to be done with seichel, because sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes the chola very much is inspired by the fact that people are davening in his presence, and they see that kind of care and attention. And sometimes it can be scary, in the notion that their condition is so severe that people are praying in their presence. So that could be a little bit of a negative effect. That could create the impression that things are more serious than they were aware of. So it's important to have common sense as far as what impression is being conveyed to the chola. Sometimes davening in their behalf is helpful. Sometimes it's better to do it later when they're not aware of just how intense the tefillah is. But one way or another, there is this emphasis, this idea, that the tefillah on behalf of the chola is an incredibly important idea. So here's a question being asked: is chola defined similar to areas such as Shabbos, or would it include those in distress or having difficulty? So there's all parts of it. So what we mean as far as a chola, so as far as Hilchos Shabbos, so there are all kinds of levels as to what justifies Hilchos Shabbos min HaTorah, what justifies Hilchos Shabbos min Rabbanan, what justifies different types of care. Here, so it's true that if we're talking about a chola, presumably there should be some kind of a definition. You do find some discussion about that. It also comes up in the context of Avram, whether he specifically was a chola only on the third day after his bris milah, it was a chola b'chol gufo. Pashtus is anybody who has any kind of a need. First of all, the broader rubric of chesed is going to apply to anybody who has any kind of a need that's defined in any sense of the word. But presumably any kind of a medical need of any sort is going to put them in a category where they're going to benefit from this kind of attention. And the values of Bikur Cholim are going to be relevant. Now, in addition to what we've seen about providing physical assistance and tefillah, so there's also a specific focus on conversation, on being able to talk to the chola, and this is also something that the Ramban makes reference to, that conversation is particularly important. Shlomo ibn Gabirol, when he has a poetic listing of the mitzvos, so he has the formulation there, v'hadalim terachem, v'ha'avelim tenachem, v'hacholim tisichem. So when it comes to mourners, you should comfort them. And when it comes to cholim, you should speak to them. That the conversation is considered to be the format of the mitzvah. And the Sefer Charedim, we mentioned before how he counts mitzvos, so he also counts conversing with a patient as an independent mitzvah, in addition to the two that we said before. And the Chidah notes that there's a specific mitzvah to try to visit a time when no one else is there, so that you can be able to have a conversation with the Chola, because that is a part of the mitzvah. So there's all kinds of specific aspects of conversation. Sometimes being able to advise is helpful, sometimes it's not so helpful. Sometimes just providing companionship and comfort is helpful. And there's also humor. Reader's Digest has a column, "Laughter is the best medicine." But this is an idea that goes back already to Chazal. It's a Gemara in Tainus, where the Gemara says that those who are able to cheer up the people who were sad and who were sick were given a special chelik in Olam Haba. The jesters who were able to make jokes and to cheer up people in that way. And this is also something that the Rambam writes in his medical writings. Dr. Fred Rosner, he translated the medical writings of the Rambam. He writes that to be able to make people laugh is a part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So all of that is included in what the function is, what the goal is in the mitzvah. Now, this Gemara in Nedarim that we've been making reference to, the Gemara in Lamed Tes Amud Beis and Daf Mem. So the Gemara there has a fascinating statement that a person who visits the Chola, so he is notel, a chelik of the illness. What exactly that means to be notel, so the translation is a little bit ambiguous. That could mean that you take away, or it could mean that you take for yourself, but you remove 1/60th of the illness. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia makes it sound like you take it on for yourself, because that Gemara we mentioned before about interpreting the advice of Yisro, and it says that Yelchu Ba is a reference to Bikur Cholim. So there the Gemara asks why Bikur Cholim needs its own reference beyond the broader category of Chesed. So the Gemara suggests that it's a reference to a Ben Gilo. What is a Ben Gilo? So that's an idea that the Gemara Nedarim is talking about. We'll explain a little bit more in a moment what that is. But that is the kind of person who absorbs 1/60th of the illness of the Chola. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia is suggesting that there's some kind of risk involved. And yet, even though normally we don't tell you to do things that are dangerous, but here apparently this level of danger, so we are told to take on. And that's what the Chiddush of the Gemara has from that extra language of Yelchuba, that we should do Bikur Cholim despite that. So that's what the Gemara Nedarim tells us, that if a person is a Ben Gilo, so then he has this ability to take 1/60th of the illness. So what does it mean to be a Ben Gilo? So according to some of them before Shem, so if you look at the Ran and the Rash there to Nedarim, you look at the Chassam Sofer, he talks about this, it means somebody who's born under the same mazel of the Chola. If you're born under the same mazel, so you have this ability to take away 1/60th of their illness. However, some of the Mefarshim, they understand it in a little bit more of a down-to-earth fashion. So Rashi, the Rashi in the Nedarim is not actually Rashi, but the commentary writing in Rashi's handwriting in the Nedarim writes that the idea of Ben Gilo means you're part of the same age group. So a young man visiting a young man, or an older person visiting an older person. And the Meiri understands that it means that a person who is of the same type, that his presence will be pleasing to the Chola, so he will alleviate his suffering. And the Ritz understands the person who has the same kind of temperament and the attitudes of the patient. So this becomes an idea that's a little bit more relatable, that the notion is that you're going to have something in common with the patient, and by visiting with them, they will therefore bring a sense of comfort and a sense of identification that's going to alleviate their suffering, and in doing that, is going to make their situation more bearable and their situation improved. And in some of the texts, the Yalkut Shimoni has a different formulation as far as what it takes to reduce the illness of the patient by visiting them. And there the language is that the visitor loves the Chola like themselves. And the in the Keren Ora, in his commentary to Nedarim. So he writes that the kirva, that the closeness that the people have, the patient and the visitor, is going to take away part of the illness, but also it's going to bring strength, it's going to bring power. And in the Sefer Seder Hayom of Ramosh ibn Makir, so he writes there at greater length that we've seen this to be true. We see this with our own eyes, that sometimes a person goes in to visit the chola and he sits with him for an hour or two, and the patient says, "You've comforted me, you've returned my soul to me." You see the effect that it has, that the visitor makes the patient actually physically improve. And the Ben Ish Chai writes that he thinks that it can't be that the meaning is that the visitor actually absorbs a part of the illness, because this is medically not true, and also it contradicts the idea that Bikur Cholim is a benefit to the visitor, both in this world and the next world. Now, you'd have to reconcile that with the Gemara above Metziah, which does suggest that there's some level of risk. But in any event, the Ben Ish Chai says, since he assumes it doesn't mean that, so therefore he says that that's the idea, like we've been saying, that you identify emotionally with the patient and you feel the anguish of the patient, which therefore has the effect of 1/60th of the actual illness. And that sharing of the pain is a relief to the patient, and that's what has this impact of a improvement and alleviation of his condition that comes along with that. The Rambam, in his language, so the Rambam talks about this benefit, but he doesn't mention at all the Ben Gilo idea that appears in the Gemara. He just says that somebody who visits the Chola takes away a portion of the illness and improves things. So some understand, in commenting on the Rambam and the way he doesn't have that particular condition, that some understand the Rambam is not coming from the Gemara Nedarim, he's coming from statements in the Medrash that have any visitor having this effect. And some understand that it's a reference to the idea that Chazal have just more broadly, that whoever visits the Chola has a impact that causes him to live. And others take it differently. So the Chalkis Yaakov, in his Tshuvas, Yaakov Breish, has a discussion that he thinks that the Rambam understands maybe a little bit more mystically, going the opposite direction, that specifically it does come from a Ben Gilo, but since the idea is that you have to be born under the same mazel, it's very difficult to figure out exactly who is and who isn't in that category. So the Rambam doesn't mention it because we can't figure out exactly who that applies to, so it's not going to make a difference, so he doesn't write it practically. In the Sefer Naim LeMishpat, in the Darim of Yitzchak Arieli, he goes in the opposite direction, but he has the same maskana. Then he says the Rambam leaves out the Ben Gilo because that's not the kind of thing the Rambam focuses on. He's more of the rationalist, so because he understands that the relief that comes to the Chola because of the visit is what we're focused on here, so therefore that's all the Rambam mentions, and that's something that should be appreciated. Okay, so how much should the visit involve? So we know Chazal tell us that this is one of the mitzvos that has no shir. That's something that the Gemara Nedarim says as well. And what exactly does it mean? The Gemara discusses what does it mean to say that it has no shir. So one idea that you find is that it's fulfilled even if a chola is visited 100 times a day. So what does that mean to say that you should visit even 100 times a day? This is something the Rambam quotes in Mishneh Torah and the Shulchan Aruch quotes. So some of the Mefarshim suggest that it means to convey that the matzav of the chola could change in a minute, could change on a dime, and therefore it's never appropriate, it's never enough to say that I've already been there today, I know everything I need to know. The Shita Mekubetzes and the Darim quotes the Ritz to that effect, that that's the point, that you can never be sure that things haven't changed, and to say that it's enough. But it's Eliezer as a tshuva, where he says, Ein lo shir means it's never too much, never too little, that any visit of any length is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. But at the same time, so the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam all point out that you have to be careful not to be matriach on the chola, that you shouldn't come in a way, you shouldn't stay in a way, you shouldn't come in a way that's going to be a burden on the Chola. So that idea, that's really based on the language of the Gemara, that one has to be careful not to become a tircha on the Chola. And there's a lot to understand as far as that. And there's some who note, Briskarov pointed out, that the language of the Rambam, when he talks about the format of the visit, so he includes at the end, the Yotze, that you should leave. So it's interesting because why, when you're talking about a mitzvah, do you also mention what happens after the mitzvah? So why don't we just say what happens during the mitzvah? Why do we talk about the fact that you leave afterwards? You don't say that in the context of other mitzvahs. So the Brisker Rav suggested that that is to show that part of the mitzvah is also to be aware not to be a burden and to know that you shouldn't overstay your welcome, and when the time comes to leave, you have to leave. They quote in the name of the Ksav Sofer that he said that that was also pshat in the Gemara's reference to the pasuk of Yelchuba, that you have to know when to go. You have to know when to leave. That's also a part of the mitzvah. And therefore, you have to understand if you have this concern not to be a burden on the chola, so the idea that you would visit even 100 times a day, that's pretty impressive. How could it be that you're going to visit 100 times a day and not be a burden on the chola? So Rav Bakshi Daron has a tshuva about this, has tshuva actually about a similar reference, which maybe we could extrapolate, that the idea is that you should visit in a way that even if you would come 100 times a day, you wouldn't be a burden on the chola. Rav Bakshi Daron has an interpretation like that of the mitzvah of Tochacha, because the Gemara says in Yevamos that you should not say Tochacha that's not going to be received. But the Gemara also says you should give somebody Tochacha even 100 times. So that seems to be a steer. It seems like they wasn't received the first 99 times. So he says the idea of 100 times is to show that you should do it in a way that even if you would say it 100 times, you wouldn't be considered a burden on the Chola. So too, maybe that's what the Gemara here means, that you should visit in such a way that even if you were to come 100 times, so that wouldn't be a burden on the Chola. That wouldn't be something that would be considered to be too much for them. So that reflects the sensitivity and the awareness that a person should have, that a person has to appreciate that they're there to benefit the Chola and not to harm them. And there's some who suggest, you know, based on the language of the Rambam, that if one comes and is matriach hamecholah, they're not makayim the mitzvah. And that may seem obvious on one level. So there are some who suggest the Sefer called Mitzvah Speaker Cholim from Farbstein, where he understands, based on the Rambam, that his point is that even if you are objectively helpful to the Chola, but at the same time, you are causing him a feeling of annoyance, you're a burden to him, so then that negates the fulfillment of the mitzvah, that it's so crucial. Speaking of not being a burden, so I don't want to be a burden to the tzibur and going too long on this topic, but there is a lot more to say about this. There are a couple of other nekudos that we could add. So maybe we'll make a part two. So maybe we'll continue next week with a few other issues. Maybe we'll talk about Nichum Aveilim also, which has some overlapping issues in Bikur Cholim. So maybe we'll stop here and we'll continue. We'll talk maybe next week about Nichum Aveilim with also a focus on some of the issues that connected to, so we'll fill in whatever we missed in Bikur Cholim in that context. Okay, I thank you very much. You should have a good night. You should continue to connect to mitzvahs of chesed and mitzvahs of yahavta l'recha kamocha, and to fulfill the broader directive of halachta b'drachav, and we should incorporate Kadosh Baruch Hu's model into all that we do, and that we should be elevated as such, as people of Chesed and descendants of Avraham Avinu. Should have a terrific night.